This week, we hear from Dr. Renita Schmidt, Assistant Professor of Literacy Education at Furman University, as well as Dr. Kathy Whitmore, Professor of Language, Literacy, and Culture at the University of Iowa. They do research involving how teachers navigate the complexities of meeting their students' needs while attending to policies that require high test scores. This study focused on teachers of English language learners, which throughout this interview we're likely to refer to as ELL. Welcome, Dr. Schmidt.
Hi.
Welcome, Dr. Whitmore.
Hello.
First, Dr. Schmidt, tell us about yourself and how you got interested in this topic, talking about teachers trying to bridge the chasm between students' needs and policy requirements.
Well, I got interested in this topic when I was a doctoral student at Iowa working on a research project called LTAP with Kathy Whitmore and Dale Bolt. My dissertation grew out of this project, and this is one of the teachers that we studied. We became very interested in her talk.
And Dr. Whitmore?
Well, I became interested in this topic largely because of the exemplary teachers that I had the honor to watch and learn from. And this teacher in particular really captivated Nita's and my interest because of the unique fascinating nature of the way she spoke about her job and her children.
Now, Dr. Schmidt, what do you mean by a chasm between students' needs and policy requirements?
Well, we find in the political realm of literacy that we're living in right now that there's a lot of accountability for teachers and students in the testing world. And legislators don't always understand what it is teachers do to find out what their students know and what they still need to learn. And that's created some issues that are caused difficulties with teachers who are choosing methods and materials in their classrooms.
Well, Dr. Whitmore, isn't accountability a good thing?
Well, absolutely, but it depends how it's defined. And today, teachers are feeling a tremendous amount of pressure. Accountability is not a bad goal, but when it's at the expense of the joyfulness that can be present and should be present in classrooms, especially elementary classrooms, to the point that teachers are becoming quite stressed and unhappy and questioning what they believe about their teaching occupation, then it's time for us to, as we suggest, analyze what's going on.
Dr. Schmidt, your article talks about how No Child Left Behind assessment policies perpetuate deficit thinking about ELL students. Can you tell me about that?
Well, I think one way to describe deficit thinking is thinking about what children don't know rather than what children do know. And I think every teacher feels a responsibility for helping children to continue to progress and achieve. And if you don't start with what they do know, then you don't really know where to start.
Yeah, and so that sort of brings up what Dr. Whitmore was talking about, if sort of takes the love of learning out of it, I guess. Dr. Whitmore, in your article, you also say that most teachers find that the definitions used by No Child Left Behind regarding literacy are sorely inadequate for the 21st century. What do you mean by that?
Well, that refers to several possibilities. One is that when teachers are mandated to use reduced curriculum that is provided for them in kind of a slick box with materials in it that may have no relevance to the particular children in that classroom, perhaps culturally or linguistically. And so that's one way that I think literacy gets defined far too narrowly. It also isn't very forward-thinking when we consider the types of literacy skills children will need by the time they exit our public school system. And we're thinking there about media literacy and digital formats. Working just with pencils and papers and textbooks is not perhaps the most effective way to become or even just be a reader in today's world.
Right, right. And can you speak to your article concludes, Dr. Schmidt, with a discussion of moving from the struggle to hope. Give us some hope here.
Well, Jacqueline was able to teach using multiple sign systems, all kinds of different materials that offered different perspectives to children so they could think critically, and to bring out some of their different ways of transacting because of the different places they've lived in the world. Those are really wonderful things to see in an atmosphere where especially multilingual learners are thought of as being less than because of perhaps the way they're negotiating English at this time in their life.
One of the primary lessons we learned from Jacqueline was how she used her, how she kind of positioned herself with her language as she spoke to different groups. So she could kind of change the types of language she used, even the pronouns she used and some of the terminology she used, so that as she was speaking to administrators, for example, she could present herself as a very professional, confident, theoretically capable teacher. And when she spoke to her colleagues, she shifted to lots of we pronouns so that they were working collectively and they were bonding together, you know, through her language. And so that was something that we found fascinating with her.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Dr. Schmidt, based on your expertise, what would you tell teachers?
I would tell teachers that everything that you know about your students is going to make you better able to provide curriculum and lessons that will meet their needs.
Mm-hmm.
Teacher decision making within the politics of literacy means that you've got to be able to articulate your positions more clearly as they're related to research.
Mm-hmm.
The connection between theory and practice is there. You have that knowledge and you need to speak it so that our administrators, our legislators, and our parents begin to see how we do make the decisions we make about materials and methods.
Yes, yes. And Dr. Whitmore, what would we tell parents?
Well, Jacqueline, the teacher we studied, has a real talent and value for including parents in her curriculum decisions, and she clearly trusts parents, and she positions herself as a teacher who learns from parents, doesn't just teach to parents.
Mm-hmm.
Not every parent encounters that in their child's classroom, but I think a great deal of effective learning and teaching happens through relationships, and parents need to offer themselves, I don't mean in the kind of old-fashioned way of being the room mom or something like that, but offer what they know and who they are, some of their identities to teachers to build personal relationships with them, I think, and be there to advocate for their kids, be as involved as they can be, certainly.
Yeah, and it sounds like the teacher you studied here also provides us with a nice example of how we as teachers can reach out to parents. And so, Dr. Schmidt, what do we tell people who are creating policies and enacting policies? What do we tell policymakers and principals?
Well, I think it's important for us to remind them that teachers are professionals. We know the tools of our trade are the materials we use. We know that a varied method for literacy is going to make our instruction better and reach more children when we differentiate to make learning more accessible for all learners.
Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing that current policies circumvent that somehow?
Well, I think the current policies tend to stray too much toward a standardized curriculum that looks very closely at standardized test results, and that isn't going to give a full picture of every child.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Dr. Schmidt, where do we go with this next? What research are you doing now?
Well, I'm really interested in still really interested in what I have called teacherhood or teacher decision making within the politics of literacy, and I'm I think a lot about how difficult it is for teachers who work in a very isolated setting to build communities of practice with one another so that they can share ideas and support one another to be better teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing a lot of work with teachers to help think about, you know, ways to ask better questions or ask questions about bigger ideas so that we're integrating learning across the day.
Yeah. Dr. Whitmore, where are you going with this?
Well, I'm always interested in teacher development. Jacqueline, the teacher that we studied in this project, was a veteran teacher with many years of experience and lots of expertise. Both Nita and I are interested in teacher education and thinking a lot about how can we help young novice teachers enter the field with strong voices. And so we're in the process of studying that as well.
Dr. Renita Schmidt from Furman University and Dr. Kathy Whitmore from the University of Iowa, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can find research done by Dr. Schmidt and Dr. Whitmore in the Journal of Literacy Research, Volume 43, Issue 1. This podcast is now available from iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as our website, www.voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Schmidt and Dr. Whitmore. We invite you to join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes, peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, and post questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.